Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports on an absolutely beautiful Friday. Yes, Friday, June 21st, 2019. I like to call it Friday. You have made it. The end of the week is here. The weekend is near. This is going to be like a gorgeous one. You know, much like today, Saturday will be sunny. Not many clouds in the sky. You know, in the 70s. This is the weather we have been waiting on. Finally. Right? And it's fitting because today is actually the first official day of summer. All right, so June 21st until September 23rd, that's officially summer. So let's enjoy this, and hopefully the weather stays somewhat consistent. All right, but happy Friday for you all. And we've got a great hour in store that will be centered on recapping a bit of what happened last night in Brooklyn, New York at the NBA draft. Now, I must admit, I tuned out probably around, like, pick number 25. All right, and then I turned back to see what was going to happen with the Pistons, and then I turned it off. All right, and I started watching. There was an AFI, the American Film Institute. They aired the Lifetime Achievement Award for my favorite actor of all time, Denzel Washington. So I was watching the NBA draft, and I was watching that. So I didn't get a chance to catch really anything that went down in the second round until I woke up this morning. There were some, though, that were so intrigued by this draft. I know many people that actually watched the entire thing. Yeah, I kid you not. Now, like today, I was at the barbershop, and my barber, Melvin, I'm chatting with him this morning. He's like, I watched the whole thing. I'm like, what? The whole thing from 7 to like, after midnight? Mel, what's wrong with you, man? And he's like, well, you know, there's this thing called DVR. Which is smart, right? I mean, you don't have to sit through the commercials. You don't have to sit through the downtime, what is like 5 minutes in between each pick. So that's smart. That's a smart way to do it. That's what he did. He just recorded it, and then he just flew through each and every pick, fast-forwarding in between each one. All right? And he, of course, he watched the interviews with Maria Taylor and some of the breakdown, but he's not sitting there watching all of that left and right. So there were some that were glued to their televisions watching the entire draft. Sorry, Michigan State fans. I know you were hoping that you would at least hear one name called last night by Commissioner Adam Silver. That did not happen. The only hope that you had was possibly a team out there taking a risk and deciding to draft Nick Ward. That didn't happen. Matt McQuaid was the other name. He was not drafted. Also, Kenny Goins, that was like your third option, and neither three got drafted, all right? There were, however, two Michigan Wolverines that were taken. I'll tell you who they are and where they went, and I'll give you my big takeaways from last night, and I'll also comment on what my Detroit Pistons did. Some interesting picks. We had our mock draft yesterday, and both Connor Mathis and myself certainly did not nail this whatsoever. All right. It was unpredictable. Again, it was kind of a crapshoot. You know, picked 1 through 3, went as planned, and then you just didn't know what was going to happen after that. And the draft certainly paid true to that prediction, at least. All right. Also, I'm excited to have him on the show. Have not talked to him here on Current Sports in quite some time. We text all the time. But my former engineer, Isaac Constance, as you guys know, our long-term listeners know that Isaac, being from New Orleans, Louisiana, born and bred there, he is a die-hard no-lie fan when it comes to professional sports. When it comes to, of course, the Saints, that's a football area. But he is also a diehard New Orleans Pelicans fan. He's a fan of the NBA, and that is his team. And as you can imagine, I'm curious to pick the brain of Isaac when it comes to everything that's happened, you know, in these past few weeks. You know, Anthony Davis leaving the squad, and now you get the number one overall pick, and you draft Zion Williamson. Lonzo Ball is now over there. You know, Brandon Ingram as well. I just want to talk about everything that's gone down with this franchise, and I want to get Isaac's thoughts on the outlook of this team now that you do have Zion, because there are a lot of no-lie fans that are looking at Zion Williamson as the savior of this franchise. All right, so we'll dive into that, and we'll also have Reflection Friday for you all if you would like to join the show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below the live stream there. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. We've got Alec Rio rocking Mike behind the glass, the engineer of this Friday edition of Current Sports. Alec, let's hit him with our Current Sports quick hit headliners. As you all know, unless you were sleeping under a rock last night, the NBA draft was last night. Zion Williamson, no surprise there. He went first overall. The freshie stud from Duke goes to New Orleans. Ja Morant went second. RJ Barrett went third. And when it comes to the Detroit Pistons at 15th overall, the youngest player in the draft, Sekou Doumbouya, at age 18. He is the first international player selected by the Motor City since Darko Milicic. Oh, great memories, right? Back in 03, the Pistons also traded their 30th overall pick away. So, yeah, me, you know, flipping back to ESPN to see what the Pistons did with that 30th pick. Well, that's when I found out that they traded the pick away for 4 second-round picks, 2 of which were in this year's draft. The Pistons added 2 of those second rounders and their own second rounder at 45th overall for the Dallas Mavericks second round pick, 37th overall. A bit confusing. I'll clear it up in a minute. The Pistons used the pick to select Lithuanian forward. And I know I'm going to mess this name up, and I've heard it multiple times throughout this morning. And let's just give a stab at it. Davidas Servidas. Yeah. So there you have that. I probably butchered that name. That was my best shot, though. So he will probably be a draft and stash guy. You'll probably see him in the G League or overseas next season. So when the dust settled, the Pistons 2019 draft night yielded 2 foreign prospects in Sekou Doumbouya and Davidas Servidas. They also traded back into the draft to get Tennessee point guard Jordan Bone. So I'll comment on Jordan in just a moment because I think that's a really good pick. I just don't know about the 2 international prospects. I did mention Sekou on yesterday's Current Sports. He had a great year last season internationally. But just don't know. This is a crapshoot. We'll see what happens. So the Pistons come out of the night with an extra second round pick in 2023 and likely 2024 since it's heavily protected. All right, the Splash Brothers, just got a pool to work with.
Shazam!
I like that. It's a good line, Alec. Alec Rio always writing the puns in my script. The Splash Brothers just got a pool to work with. It's a pool party. Jordan Poole, that is. He was selected by the Dubs in the first round, 28th overall. Golden State selected the 20-year-old Michigan shooting guard with the 28th pick, seeking a player who potentially could make an immediate impact given the team's injury-plagued roster coming off that NBA Finals loss at the hands of the Toronto Raptors. Iggy Brasdeikis, he didn't have to wait much longer after his teammate, Poole, heard his name. He was drafted by the New York Knickerbockers at the 47th spot. He shot 39% from three at Michigan in his only season there. He shot 43% on 73 NBA length three-point attempts, giving scouts a little bit of confidence in his abilities transferring over to the NBA. All right, so two Wolverines taken in Jordan Poole and Iggy Brasdeikis. I'll have thoughts on those two players as well. Okay, Michigan State basketball will host Albion in an exhibition game at the Breslin Center on October 29th. I actually, fun fact, I was recruited by Albion when I was a senior in high school playing basketball at Annapolis High School in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. So, Alec, I looked at Albion, though, and said, heck no, I'm not going there. I do not want to go to Albion at all. I'm going to Michigan State. So, yeah, that's where
I don't blame you.
That's where my basketball dreams, they just kind of vanished. But I do miss ball. I'm actually playing this weekend for the first time in some weeks. So, looking forward to that. But
shaking off the rust.
Shaking off the rust. Al Jordan will be live and in full effect this weekend. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to that. But, again, back to the headliner at hand. Michigan State and Albion, October 29th, exhibition play. The game will be a matchup of, check this, Michigan State guard Cassius Winston against his younger brother's guard Zachary Winston. And I believe I'm pronouncing this right, Kai Winston. Is that correct? Kai Winston, who played for the Britons. Start time and TV coverage, that will be announced at a later date. This is coming from Albion head coach Jody May. This is what he said, quote, "This will be a memorable experience for the players, staff, and community of Albion College, as well as the Winston family. The opportunity for Cassius, Zach, and Kai to be on the floor together will be an amazing occasion for their family. We appreciate the opportunity provided by Coach Izzo and Michigan State University." Now, MSU and Albion, they have met 11 times in regular season play, and the Spartans have won all but one. You got to rewind the clock. All the way back to 1927, January 12, 1927, in which Albion beat MSU 37-31 in East Lansing. And I guess the name back then, Jack, right, was it was MAC back then, right?
Yeah, I think so. That would have been right.
When did it change to Michigan State?
Dude, I have no idea.
1855 was when the university was founded.
I don't know.
But yeah.
We joined the Big Ten in like the 40s.
I'm sure you have some insight into Cassius's younger brothers. You went to school, as you always bring up, Jack, with the Winstons, right? They went to your high school, Detroit Jesuit. Do you know Zachary and Kai?
Yeah, Zach was a year younger than Cassius and myself. He actually, if you thought someone could look less athletic running up and down a court than Cassius, it would be his brother, but just like him, he can ball. Zach can shoot, dude.
Hold on, which one is unathletic? You're talking about Zachary here?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think Cassius has ever looked like a great athlete, and he didn't in high school.
That's why many people predict that he won't be chosen in the NBA draft when he comes out after next season.
Yeah, but Zach can shoot, dude.
Zach can shoot.
Yeah.
Kai, pretty good player?
You know what? He was a senior this year, so he would have been a freshman when I was a senior, and he wasn't on varsity as a freshman, so I wasn't familiar with him.
How tall are they? I'm curious. Are they around Cassius' height?
Zach's a little taller than Cassius.
Okay.
And Kai is a little shorter than Cassius. I don't think he's 6 feet.
Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to checking out that game.
I think.
Okay, we can look that up. But, again, yeah, Zachary and Kai will be taking on older brother Cassius. That should be fun. It's going to be a family affair on October 29th at the Breslin Center. All right, I'll go behind the glass now because I didn't even know this. Had no idea. The day after the NBA draft, is that usually how how it shakes out, Alec. You have the NHL draft taking place that.
That's usually right around the same time because both seasons are similarly structured with 82 games taken around, you know, the same time frame.
Right.
So, yeah, it makes sense.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. But the NHL draft today.
Yeah. So, round one of the NHL draft kicks off tonight at 8 p.m. And the New Jersey Devils struck lottery gold by getting the number one overall pick spot, most likely nabbing highly touted American prospect Jack Hughes. The New York Rangers have the number two overall pick, who could land right wing Kaapo Kakko from TPS and Liiga, Finland's top professional league. He also had a monster IIHF World Championship, scoring 6 goals in 10 games. The third spot and on remains a complete mystery. Now, the Detroit Red Wings have the sixth overall pick again, after picking up young stud Filip Zadina at the sixth spot last year. Rounds 2 to 7 will happen tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right, so there's 7 rounds. That's a lot of rounds.
Yep.
That is a lot of rounds.
210, or actually, no, I think it's 206, no. It's like a little over 210. It used to be 210 when there were only 30 teams.
Okay.
210 picks, but there's a little more now.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how much pressure is on the Wings organization to nail this draft so that they can get back on some kind of right track here, Alec? A lot of pressure or no?
Like, there's a decent amount of pressure. I mean, I trust that Steve Yzerman knows what he's doing because he's made some really good picks down in Tampa Bay, even scoring people like Andre Palat back in 2013. That was the last overall pick. So I trust his word for finding those diamonds in the rough kind of prospects.
What do you think they'll take? 6th overall pick?
I couldn't tell you. It's wide open at this point. Okay. Only the 1st and 2nd overall picks are for sure.
Right.
I'm hoping we nail a defenseman or a right winger. That's what I'd be looking forward.
But right now it's totally wide open. That sounds a lot like the NBA draft.
Yep.
So, okay. All right. NHL draft today. Thank you, Alec. The Detroit Tigers have lost 5 of their last 6 as they begin their AL Central rivalry series tonight against the Cleveland Indians on the road. Matt Boyd, who is 5-5 on the year, a 3.35 ERA. He will get the nod to start at Progressive Field. Action tonight, 7:10 p.m., of course, on Fox Sports Detroit. And how about this? This great story of the Michigan baseball team continues to keep on keeping on as the Wolverines will play Texas Tech for the right to go to the College World Series final. The game will take place right after we bid you all adieu on today's Current Sports. 2 p.m. is when that match will get underway. Michigan and Texas Tech. Michigan defeated Texas Tech 5-3 the first time they faced off last Saturday. If Texas Tech wins, the two teams will face off in the rubber match tomorrow for the right to go to the final. So
beat
Michigan. Yeah, beat the bully. So, yeah, I already know who Ray from Indiana is rooting for this afternoon. But again, if Michigan wins, they go to the College World Series.
Beat the bully.
Final, right? And if Texas Tech wins, they buy themselves at least another day. All right, President Donald Trump said yesterday that he will award the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Roger Penske, a race car team owner, former professional race car driver, and entrepreneur. Trump told reporters about the decision to award Penske, known by his nickname, the Captain, with the nation's highest civilian honor during a meeting alongside Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Trump called Penske, quote, a great gentleman who has won 18 Indianapolis 500s, and said that Penske is, quote, very thrilled to be getting it. He is very deserving. He is a great gentleman. I've known him a long time and a very brilliant guy. And as you guys remember, not too long ago, after Tiger Woods, of course, won the Masters, completing the greatest comeback in sports history, Tiger was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And now Roger Penske is the latest to get that honor. All right, my stomach turned when I saw this. Shout out to our listener, Ben, because he tagged me in this right after I watched that Denzel Washington tribute. I hopped on my laptop to do some work. And as I went to Facebook.com, looked at my notifications, I was tagged in this by our dear listener, Ben. And again, it just turned my stomach, man. I'm really rooting for Clarissa to get back on the horse ASAP. But Clarissa Shields, Flint's favorite daughter, in her latest pursuit of boxing history, she is going to have to wait a bit. The two-division world boxing champion from Flint has been sidelined with a knee injury. That's according to her press release from Showtime, and her fight with Croatia's Ivana Habsizin has been scheduled for August. That was, excuse me, scheduled for August 17th at Flint's Dort Federal Event Center, has now been postponed until the fall. So Shields, who was attempting to become the fastest fighter, male or female, to win world titles in three divisions, injured her knee this week while doing road work. Showtime was planning to televise the bout against Habsizin live. So, and Alec, we don't know any more details when it comes to that, right? When I read road work, I immediately started to Google, you know, and went on the Twitter sphere to see exactly what that meant. What does road work mean? You know, it's not like she was on the side of the road picking up trash or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like. I don't know what that could entail.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that could mean.
I'm guessing, though, logically, putting on my logical hat here, maybe she was working out in the road, you know, flipping some tires.
Flipping tires, yeah, I was about to say that.
You know, like a scene from Rocky or Creed or something like that. I don't know. But.
Or Saquon Barkley's hype Instagram videos of him doing, like, unreal, like, workout stuff.
Exactly, yeah. Just doing some kind of workout craziness in the middle of the road. That's what my logical brain wants to pinpoint as to how Clarissa Shields got injured. So, yeah, because when you immediately hear road work, though, you start thinking, oh, you know, those guys, you know, on the side of the road picking up trash, and, you know, mowing the lawn. I don't know. So, Clarissa, bottom line, just get well. Get well. Get well. Want to see you back in the ring ASAP. All right. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's go. Get right to it before we get to our guest for today's current sports, dear friend and longtime engineer of the show, Isaac Constance, who is, of course, a New Orleans native. I want to get his thoughts on the Pelicans because there's a lot going on with that franchise. And I'm seeing here many of you weighing in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Sue comments and says that Matt McQuaid has signed with Detroit. Can we double check that? That comment is just coming in. So let's double check on that to see if Matt McQuaid has, in fact, signed with the Detroit Pistons. You know, we talked about here on the show how Matt McQuaid, as well as Nick Ward, both of those players did work out with the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Okay, that is right.
Yeah.
So that literally is just breaking right
now. Must have just happened on Twitter or something. Yeah, oh, I just saw 5 minutes ago. Michael Scotto, the Detroit Pistons have agreed to a deal with former Michigan State Spartans guard Matt McQuaid, a league source told The Athletic NBA.
No details on the deal, of course.
Nothing
yet. Because it's so fresh. I mean, 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt McQuaid is going to get a shot. I mean, we figured that, okay, if these two players, at least in Nick Ward and Matt McQuaid, if they were not drafted, they would at least get a shot with some NBA franchise out there as, you know, an undrafted free agent,
mm-hmm,
and would play on some kind of G League team and summer league squad this summer to see if they can make a roster. So they're going to have to take the tough road to try and make a roster. But We knew that, right?
Yeah.
We knew that, Alec.
I wasn't thinking Nick Ward or Matt McQuaid were going to get drafted in the first two rounds. There's too much talent.
Right, exactly. And I was, you know, looking at in the late second round, I did go on my laptop and I went to ESPN.com and I started to see what the picks were looking like. And I was hoping that maybe Nick's name was going to be called, but no, it's just not realistic. So
yeah, and the Pistons, 12 hours ago, they agreed to a deal with Benny Boatwright from USC.
Oh, nice. Boatwright, of course. Yep. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So they're making some moves. I'm curious to see where Nick Ward goes now. Now that Matt McQuaid has signed with the Pistons, I'm curious to see where Nick Ward is going to go. I'm sure that announcement will be made at some point today, if not throughout this hour. So we'll keep you updated on that if so. So no Spartans taken. Again, I mentioned the two Wolverines that were drafted. Jordan Poole goes to Golden State. Pretty good franchise, right? Pretty good franchise. He was taken in the, he was taken with the 28th pick.
Yeah, first round, 28th.
First round, 28th pick. So he's a first rounder. Jordan Poole was a first rounder. Iggy, which surprised me. I didn't think that Jordan Poole was going to be a first rounder. I thought he'd go in the second round. Alan,
a lot of people were saying that his overconfidence, like he was like just full out just saying like how he was confident in his abilities. And people were speculating on whether or not that propelled him to go into the first round instead of early second round.
Right.
I mean, I could get that. You know, some scouts could see, be like, hey, this guy trusts his abilities. So, I mean, hey, why not? You know,
confident,
take a chance.
Maybe he did well in his workouts, you know, and hey, Golden State decided they saw something in Jordan Poole and decided to pull the trigger there. So, Jordan Poole, first round pick, 28th overall in the NBA draft. And then you have Iggy Brazdeikis, who has taken not much longer.
47th. It was the 47th overall pick.
47th to the Knicks. He goes to the Knicks. And Iggy is a player that, yeah, Michigan State fans certainly did not enjoy his play throughout his first year at Michigan. He was one and done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Iggy reminded me a lot of Mo Wagner.
Yep.
When he was a player at Michigan. You know, they're international prospects who are gritty, tough players. And Mo Wagner may be shipped from L.A. because L.A. is certainly trying to surround LeBron and Anthony Davis with some pieces that can contribute to an NBA title run immediately because LeBron is not getting any younger.
There's an analogy. It was like Kyle Kuzma is barely hanging on to Category 5 storm wins. All the stuff that's going on with the office. No, I know that
they're not going to trade.
Oh, I know that they're not trading, but I'm saying he's like hanging on to like a telephone pole while Category 5 winds from a hurricane are just swarming by. Yeah,
there's a lot going on around him.
I know. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. He's in the eye of the storm.
Definitely. He is. I can only imagine what's going through his mind right now, but it's got to be pretty cool. You know, Kyle Kuzma, a guy that many weren't high on, you know, when he entered the league, and he has worked his way into a position where he is a consistent player for the L.A. Lakers. He's dynamic as well. I really like his game, and he's playing alongside the second greatest basketball player of all time in LeBron James, and now you play with Anthony Davis. Yeah, LeBron James. and now you get the chance to play with Anthony Davis as well. So that's going to be quite the ride for that young man. Just some points I want to make when it comes to some overall takeaways of the draft. 1-2-3 went the way we all expected, right? Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, and then RJ Barrett. We all predicted that, folks. Everybody had that. And, you know, in just a moment, I'm going to dive into what this pick means for the New Orleans Pelicans as we welcome Isaac Constance to the show. He'll be calling in just a moment. Now it's a really interesting situation for the Pelicans. And, you know, when you look at what LA is trying to build, like we just touched on, it's going to be interesting to see what happens out there. But I want to comment on Boston here because Boston, the Celtics, traded the number 24 overall pick in Aaron Baines, former Piston, to the Phoenix Suns. And in return, Boston got Phoenix's 2020 first-round pick, which will come via Milwaukee. So now the Celtics potentially have three first-round picks next year. Yeah, three first-round picks for Boston next season. Their own, the Grizzlies' number one pick, which is top six protected, and Milwaukee's first-round pick. Now, that Memphis pick remains one of the league's jewel assets and keeps Boston in position to remain a big-name trade threat. So we'll see what happens. But I think that Danny Ainge and the Celtics, they got some bullets in the chamber that they can use now to try and put this franchise back in a position to rebuild. I don't know if I could use the word rebuild because they're still among the best teams in the NBA's Eastern Conference, which I don't know how much that is saying. But this is a Boston team that certainly underperformed last season. This whole Kyrie Irving situation, we don't expect Kyrie Irving to be back with this franchise come next year. Kyrie wants out. He's rumored to be playing in Brooklyn come next season. But I even with that being said, and Kyrie Irving, a dynamic player, one of the best in the NBA, he's clearly not a number one guy that can lead a franchise to the promised land. We found that out throughout his brief tenure in Boston. And yes, I'm speaking like he's gone from Boston because I believe he is. But Boston has some tools now that they can use in the future to, quote unquote, rebuild. I don't even think they will be rebuilding. They'll just be adding some more components to that squad. So that was interesting. Also, another team that played the cap space game on draft night, the Brooklyn Nets traded the 27th pick to the LA Clippers. Now, this comes after trading the 17th pick to Atlanta, which I'll get to in just a moment, prior to the draft. Now, by trading out of the first round, the Nets don't have to account for the cap holds of those picks on their books. So the 27th pick they traded on Thursday is worth $1.97 million. Even that tiny bit of savings is enough to bring Brooklyn's potential total cap space to just under $69 million. That's just over $2 million shy of the amount that they would need to sign a 30% max free agent. And a 35% max free agent, one with more than 10 years experience, which is to say Kevin Durant, hint, hint. I don't know if KD is going to come near. I still think he's going to the Knicks. But bottom line, Brooklyn now has a ton of cap space. And that is a team. I got a chance to see Brooklyn actually in person, you know, during the holiday break. I believe it was around Christmas. You know, my family, my mom, you guys know who listens to the show. She lives in Miami now. And we got some cheap tickets to go check out the Heat versus the Nets. And it was, you know, it's relatively early on in the season. And I could tell that Brooklyn had some pretty good pieces to make a run, which they did as the NBA year continued. Brooklyn has some pieces to be, I won't say a title contender, but they can be very competitive. I'll just say that. And D'Angelo Russell, he has really come along with his game. So, yay, the Nets, they played the cap space game, and it's working out. They can make some moves here. They got some clout to make some moves here. What in the world are the Phoenix Suns doing? They are a laughingstock, the laughingstock in the NBA right now. You know, they traded T.J. Warren and the 32nd pick to the Indiana Pacers before the draft. All they got back was a little bit of cash. The reason they did it is they wanted to get the 3 years and $35 million Warren has left on his contract off the books. So I guess they can be a player. The Suns. Oh, the Phoenix Suns, a player in free agency. Come on, man.
What?
Yeah. Well,
bro,
hey,
what are you talking about, man?
Alec, I guess we all got to have hope. I guess we all got to have hope, no matter if you're the Phoenix Suns, heck, the Detroit Lions, whatever franchise, whatever lowly franchise you are. You got to hold on to some kind of hope. So that's why they made that move. The move brought Phoenix's available space to just $21 million. Not enough for a max player, but I guess enough for a few good ones. You can, again, sprinkle that around. On paper, it looks okay, I guess, but I don't know. The Suns puzzled me with that. So the Suns had the number 6 overall pick to Minnesota, which drafted Jarrett Culver, who almost everybody loved. Kobe White, a super point guard. Some people felt was the best in the draft, actually. He went number 7 to the Bulls. Then who did the Suns take at number 11? Cameron Johnson, folks, who many had going in the second round or late first at the earliest. That was the big shock of the first round for me. Cameron Johnson. Again, I thought he was going. I thought that brother was going in the second round. And he was taken as a lottery pick. Number 11 overall. it shocked everybody. I mean, I did a double take as soon as his name was announced. And, yeah, Phoenix. I don't know. Maybe they know something that we don't. They wanted Johnson apparently badly, according to many reports. And he's a good shooter. You know, 6'9", shot 45% from the three. I did have him actually as a sleeper, but I didn't have him going at 11. I thought that was way too early. And the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks traded the number 3 overall pick last year, Luka Doncic, for the number 5 pick, in which they took Trae Young, if you remember, and also Dallas's first round pick this year, which fell at number 10. Now, everybody was ready to call that a bust when Doncic came out last season like gangbusters. But by the end, Young was looking like a star in his own right. He came along, and the Hawks also added an extra lottery pick. So coming to this year, Atlanta had 6 draft picks, 3 in the first round at numbers 8, 10, and 17. Knowing this wasn't all that deep a draft, the Hawks this time swapped 3 picks for 1 in the other direction, swapping New Orleans numbers 8, 17, and 35 for the number 4, where they took DeAndre Hunter, who every scout you talk to absolutely loves. I think DeAndre Hunter he's got potential to be a pretty good player in this league. So this is actually coming from a tweet from CBS Sports, and an anonymous scout actually quoted on DeAndre Hunter, quote, "You watch the playoffs this year and all of the guys in this draft, Hunter is one who you could picture playing at that level right now. He can make shots. He can guard 2s, 3s, 4s. He's a pro in every way." A lot of people high on DeAndre Hunter. And then at number 10, the Hawks get Cam Reddish, who is reportedly their target at number 8. The Hawks GM said Atlanta gambled that Reddish would still be there at number 10 when they traded number 8, and they were absolutely right. Reddish is in my opinion, a what's that? Oh, we do. Okay, we do have Isaac, and I'm going to get to Isaac in just a moment, Alec chiming in my ear. Reddish is a boomer bust player, in my opinion. If he booms, though, watch out. Watch out. I think Cam has a tremendous upside, but it could go the other way as well when it comes to Cam. But Atlanta, very impressive. I was very impressed with what Atlanta did in the draft last night. When it comes to a few other sleepers, I just want to comment on Bol Bol. I felt bad. I really felt bad because he's the son of Manute Bol. If you don't remember Manute Bol from the 90s, 7'2" center, he was awesome. He wasn't a superstar. Manute Bol was, when a guy's like over 7 feet, well over 7 feet, you know, he was really skinny. When he first came in the league, he was a star. But his production kind of teetered off, and he needed some size on him. His son, Bol Bol, went to Denver at number 44, 7'2" center from Oregon. He was considered actually a lottery pick. Many people had him being a top 5 pick around Thanksgiving of last year. And to watch him fall all the way to 44. And the reason why, and you heard this on the broadcast last night from those analyzing things, Bol has a bad work ethic. And he did not impress in his interviews. But they feel like he's lazy. And he did have an injury problem while in college as well. But I think he could be a boomer bust player as well. Number 44, I knew he would drop, but I didn't think he would drop that far. All right, listen to our first break. When I come back, I'll give brief thoughts on my Detroit Pistons, but we will chat with Isaac Constance, former engineer of WKAR's current sports and diehard New Orleans Pelicans fan. Boy, I'm pretty sure Isaac is probably undergone some kind of therapy these last few weeks because a lot has gone on with his team. we'll comment on the Pelicans. We'll talk Pelicans basketball with Isaac, and we'll get his thoughts on the NBA draft from last night. That and more you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this absolutely beautiful Friday afternoon here in mid-Michigan. I'm coming home. Shout out to Kanye West. I miss the old Kanye. And I guess this brother is coming home because we have him on the line right now. Former engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Die hard. And I'm talking die hard. New Orleans Pelicans fan. Huge fan of the NBA. We used to have NBA debates all the time here on the show. You know him very well. Isaac Constance. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. Isaac, how you doing, brother?
Oh, thank you, Al. It's good to be home. Yeah, I was going to say, that's a very poignant song selection. I love it.
Definitely, man. It's always good hearing from you and always great when we can catch up here on WKAR's Current Sports. But I am so excited to have you on the show because I can only imagine what has been going through your noggin and the emotions, the emotional roller coaster that you and many Pelicans fans have been on since this whole Anthony Davis trade with the LA Lakers. And, you know, now last night you get the number one overall pick and Zion Williamson is now in a Pelicans jersey. First off, just what has it been like as a fan of this franchise in these last few weeks?
Well, I'm going to take it back from weeks to months, to be honest with you, because Davis requested the trade in January and then rewind it another week from there because that was when the blown pass interference call happened with the Saints versus the Rams. And, you know, the Pelicans, we're a small team. New Orleans is a small city. It's, you know, it's really a family, a close-knit community. So, you know, all of that really just jumbled up. And the whole city, from what I heard, I was not in the city at the time, but it was in a fog of depression, and that, you know, followed me as a fan of the teams too. So for us to win the lottery, to know Zion's coming, you know, Zion's coming, less therapy, more Lauryn Hill, you know, the joy of my world is in Zion type references. But in any case, it was really a cathartic moment for Pelicans fans. Zion's not like everybody else. You know, Zion really is a different type of player. They always say he's got the most hype and hope, too, of anybody since LeBron. And in New Orleans, it really reminded us of Reggie Bush being drafted to New Orleans number two overall, luckily falling to us at that spot right after Mario Williams was selected first by the Houston Texans. And that changed the tone of the city. And that's really something that we hope Zion can do the same of.
Okay. Let's talk Anthony Davis real briefly here, because I remember, and I tweeted to you when this trade happened, that I remember us on a Saturday. I don't even know who Michigan State football was playing, but, you know, we're working. And we're walking from the Communication Arts and Sciences building over to Spartan Stadium to cover MSU football. And we're talking NBA. And, you know, I remember us talking about Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. And you were like, man, AD, he's so loyal. He's going to be with us for the long haul. This is the guy. And I was saying that, I don't know, man. You know how these players are today, man. It's a league of mobility now, and loyalty is out the window. I'm just curious now, reflecting on that conversation and looking at how this whole thing shook out. AD now with LeBron out in L.A., how, if at all, has the perception from your fandom with the Pelicans and overall fandom as Pelicans fans out there in NOLA, how has it changed in relation to Anthony Davis?
Well, the thing with AD is, you know, he entered the league very much as one of these quiet, shy, polite kids. And he might still be that. You know, nobody really knows anything about Anthony Davis because, you know, this is going to sound a little salty, but we do Petty better than anybody else in New Orleans. He doesn't know what he's wearing every day. If you remember when he wore the That's All Folks to the shirt to the final home game of the season, it was something like,
yeah.
I mean, and the media pressed him. And, you know, all you want from a player is to own their actions, to be able to back it up. And he said, I don't know who put that out for me. I just wore it because it was in my dresser. What? Are you kidding me? Like,
we know why
man.
You wore it. You know, right, like, right.
Yeah, be a man. Step up. Take control of your actions. So it's, for me, kind of this sign that it's partially the super team era. You know, LeBron runs the NBA. But it's also, you know, maybe it's just a young kid under the persuasion of larger forces at play. Rich Paul, I mean, you can say the Lakers won the trade. You can say the Pelicans won the trade. Really, I think both teams won the trade, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But Rich Paul was the biggest winner of that whole thing because that was a gutsy, unprecedented midseason move. 2.5 years left on a contract to be able to say, no, he does not want to play here. He wants to go to L.A. And for AD to actually be able to push that through, it's impressive on Rich Paul's part. I don't love it. I don't think it's necessarily a good sign for the game that, you know, that this loyalty is gone. You still have guys like Damian Lillard. You still have a few. But by and large, loyalty is no more in the NBA. But yeah, it's impressive in the players' movement in that they really have assumed control, that a player who wants out could predominate the interest of an entire NBA team. That's impressive. But, mm-hmm, yeah, Davis, we'll see what he can do. There's definitely a little bit of hard emotions against him, but it's nothing that can't heal over time either.
And that's a very good point about Rich Paul. I mean, this 37-year-old agent is, like, crushing it right now. I mean,
he's out the world.
It's amazing how influential he is in the NBA today. And again, it helps when you got clients like LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But this dude, I didn't realize how much an influence he has in the association today until I read that piece put out by ESPN. You know the one I'm talking about. They talked about how Rich needed a ride one day, and Magic let him come on the team plane, and then Rich is coming to practice, and he's intimidating Luke Walton, head coach of the Lakers. And it opened my eyes a bit into just how influential Rich Paul is. So with that being said, Isaac, back to AD. I just want to ask from a fan perspective, I mean, how would you grade the hate on the scale from 1 to 10 when it comes to AD, 10 being we really hate this guy now?
It's not a 10.
Okay.
It's definitely not a 10. And the reason why is nobody thought he was wrong to request a trade. It's no secret that basketball for the longest time has played second fiddle in New Orleans. We're a football city. And, you know, I as a basketball fan, if I had to choose between the Saints and Pelicans, I'd choose basketball over football. I would choose the Saints over the Pelicans 100 times out of 100. So that's a major factor, that he wasn't able to gain the same exposure or superstardom that he would have been able to elsewhere. But the other part was, you know, the franchise wasn't always the best run. You had an owner, Tom Benson, who did pass away, and now is preceded by his wife, Gail Benson, who is doing a wonderful job with the team. But Tom Benson treated the Pelicans like the stepchild. He really did. He was the Saints owner first. He always put Saints people into play, even after he acquired the Pelicans. He kept a lot of the Saints management. So Gail Benson actually coming into the fold, reinvesting in the Pelicans, that's been a big thing. And Al, I mean, we might still be mad about Anthony Davis. I can tell you, nobody's thought about him in the world of Pelicans fandom for a few hours, for days, you know, 72 hours. And it's just because if there's one player that can erase that memory awfully quick, it's Zion Williamson, just the hype of that prospect.
All right, great segue into my next question here. You're looking at this New Orleans Pelicans roster, and I agree with you, Isaac. This was a win-win trade. When you really look at it, I think that it really set up you guys in a pretty good position for the next 2 to 5 years. This franchise, the future of your franchise right now is pretty impressive. The Lakers got their guy in AD, and now they can capitalize on LeBron James's age. He's not getting any younger, so you know you got to make a run at this thing right now. So you got AD. Now you got to sprinkle around, you know, around those guys, the talent that you need to make a run around those two. But when you look at this Pelicans roster, I mean, if I had to guess the starting lineup right now, obviously Zion Williamson. You probably put in, of course, Drew Holiday, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, and Etuan Moore. Would that be accurate? That's pretty good. That's pretty impressive, Isaac.
I think there's a good chance they go after another big man in free agency. The Pelicans have over $30 million of cap room after the trade with Atlanta that you mentioned, which also ridded the contract of Solomon Hill from the Pelicans checkbook. So that was major. So it would not surprise me for them to go after a guy like Al Horford. And if not, retain Julius Randle. So insert him into the starting lineup over each one more. And this is a very scary team next year. And, you know, maybe they don't make the playoffs, but they show a lot of potential. So to answer your question, that number five spot is largely still to be determined. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, with Zion Williamson at the four, Brandon Ingram, who's 6'9", I mean, he's Slim Reaper 0.5. You know, he's really got that sort of length and dominance on defense. And Drew Holiday and Lonzo Ball, day one, could be the best defensive backcourt in the NBA. It's frightening to see what this team can do. Now they just need shooters.
I'm excited to see what they do next season and in the years to come. And I'll close it out with a bang here. I mean, Zion Williamson, when his name was called, we all knew he was going to go first overall to you guys. You know, I remember sending you the video on Instagram of the New Orleans Pelicans staff going crazy when they somehow, some way pulled out the number one pick in the draft lottery. They had a live shot of one of the ESPN reporters out in New Orleans. There was a huge gathering out there and fans going insane, signs everywhere, welcome to NOLA Zion. I mean, it was so incredible to watch. Just how big of a get is Zion Williamson, and how do you think he's going to do in his first year? Because I think that, and I made this statement on yesterday's Current Sports, I think Zion is a star, but I like Ja Morant in year one to take home Rookie of the Year for a few different reasons, but Zion is going to be a stud without a doubt, Isaac.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I do not see Zion as the Rookie of the Year. I think he's a fantastic, phenomenal player. And he really does, given his personality and work ethic and just his sheer dominance, athleticism, his decision-making. He's such a smart, savvy player. The will to win. He's got the potential to be an all-timer. But it could take him a little bit just because he doesn't have the shot down. He's going to be an outstanding defender day one. But I like that pick of Ja Morant. With that being said, I would say for this upcoming year, New Orleans is no longer a football-first city. This is the power of one Zion Williamson. It is incredible. I don't think anybody fully understood just what this would do, but local New Orleans businesses have been making financial estimates in excess of hundreds of millions of dollars because of the impact of Zion Williamson. So, I mean, off the court and on the court. On the court, he's a centerpiece. He's got Draymond Green defensive capabilities. And then on offense, he shot 72% from the two-point range and 68% from the field in general in college. That's going to translate fine. He's such a smart player. He plays for his team. And don't forget, now he's got the young guns from the Lakers and Jackson Hayes and Nickeil Alexander-Walker, both good draft picks as well. So, the potential for this team is just unparalleled.
Without a doubt. Like I stated, man, I'm looking forward to checking out what they do next season. All right, Isaac, and real quick, man, just give us an update on how things are going on out in Washington, D.C. I know that you are reporting on, like, government and technology, right, for GovLoop out there.
Correct, yeah. So things are going well. I was always interested in politics and government in college, which, you know, a lot of people heard me on Current Sports, of course, and I loved it. But I also liked contributing once in a while on Current State and doing Capital News Service and a few political style stuff. So, I had the chance to come over here. Things are going really well. Did some reporting actually around the government shutdown and a few other big pieces of legislation. So it's been good so far. We'll see what happens with it. But, yeah, I mean, it's really interesting stuff. And my Twitter, though, if you go on my Twitter,
Yeah.
Give me a follow at ISAAC Constance.
Yep.
Shameless plug.
Right.
But, you know, it's still all sports. It's nice having that fandom still unleashed. That's been fun.
So he's a government and technology reporter, but you go to his Twitter, and it's just all sports. So the love is still there, Isaac. I love it, man.
I'm cracking up because I always like, I'm like, who follows me in the first place? Because it's like, what? One day you'll see like, man, we really got a lot of potential next year with, you know, when the addition of Nikhil Alexander Walker, that's huge. Then the next day I'm going to be like, well, the OPM actually passed this regulation about the use of blockchain in federal. It's crazy. You know, it's
right.
Like,
well, I tell you what,
it's
man.
It's such a hodgepodge.
You got 479 people out there that love that balance, I guess. So,
not
hey, props
it's
to
not
you.
Not like you, Al. Not like you.
No, man, I got a long way to go, man. But Isaac, keep crushing it out there, dude. Thank you so much for your time, man. We'll be in touch, all right?
Yeah, good chatting. Talk to you soon.
The one, the only Isaac Constance, man. I get it. Tell you, he's a jack of all trades. All right, real quick, let's hit our final break real quick. We'll come back and put an immediate bow on this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just a minute left in the hour. Again, much thanks to Isaac Constance, a longtime engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Much thanks to him for coming on the show and taking us through the emotions of a New Orleans Pelicans fan. You know, you lose Anthony Davis, such a huge name in the world of basketball today, but you gain a huge name in the world of basketball today in Zion Williamson. Talk about an emotional roller coaster, all right? But the weekend is underway, at least for us here at WKAR's Current Sports, in at least 30 seconds. And really wishing you guys a great weekend. Again, a reminder that the Michigan baseball team playing in the College Baseball World Series, a chance to play in the final if they do indeed beat Texas Tech. First pitch set for 2 p.m. So a minute after we get off the airwaves, Michigan and Texas Tech will go at it. Enjoy that matchup. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you back here same time, same place on Monday. Be easy, people.